This is a taped interview with Mr. Robert Payne of 1030 North Steele, Tacoma, Washington. This was done with Ruth Wett, Tacoma Public Library, November 26, 1975. This is a tape original.
Mr. Payne, could we start by getting your full name?
Okay, it's Robert E. Payne, P-A-I-N-E.
And could you please tell me how old you are?
63.
And where you were born?
Right here in this house. Mm-hmm. 1030 North Steele, Tacoma. And that's 1911, December
24, 1911. And what did your family do here in Tacoma?
Well, Dad was employed at Hunt Mattei Hardware years ago, and Mother was a housewife, just like my wife is, and that's the way I wanted it. And Dad worked at Hunt Mattei, and he always rode the streetcars to work. There was a North K Street car line just a block away, and he was under doctor's orders at the time. He'd had a heart attack, and the doctors told him to walk as much as he could. Well, he'd take the North K streetcar line down to about 21st, South 21st, and then he'd walk right straight down 21st, which was mostly downhill anyway, to Pacific Avenue, in good weather, that is. And then he'd just have about a half a block to walk to Hunt Mattei. It was a wholesale hardware company. And Dad worked there for 30-some years, 36 or thereabouts. And that's... he never had any other job in Tacoma, to my knowledge. That was the one and only. Mm-hmm. He liked the hardware business, and he stuck with it. In fact, I worked there at one time, and I liked it really well, too. But something came along, a baby was expected in the house, and I had to have more money. So I got a job with the city of Tacoma, and I stayed there for 33 years myself. And both Dad and I are 30-some years in our employment. And I worked a few other places too, like the old Tribune and the Ledger. I was on the Ledger for a while after I carried papers for 3 years. I worked in the office there and then went from there. The big sum of $10 a week, I went to $15 a week in full-time work at the old Ledger Tribune office collecting for advertising. Incidentally, that's where I met my wife, collecting for advertising. But anyway, what other facts did you want to know?
Well, since I know you worked for, what was it, City Light Department?
City Light.
How did you get interested in the Beltline?
Well, we were more or less exposed to the Beltline out there where I worked because it was one division of the utilities. We had light, water, and Beltline. Beltline was, maybe I shouldn't say stepchild, but it was a minor utility of the other two. The light was the largest revenue producer. The water was next, and we had to have both light and water. And we, of course, we're all billed on one bill here in Tacoma, like light, water, garbage, sewer, then transit. When I went to work, it was just light and water. And you're billed on separate bills, and now you're billed on one bill through IBM. But I had no connection with the railroads or with the streetcars, only that I was always interested in them, and I like to take pictures of them. That one up there about the old Point Defiance streetcar across the street. She's cattywampus across the street. She split the switch at 9th and Broadway, and one truck went on Broadway where it was supposed to have gone, and the other truck started up St. Helens. Well, you know the old story about a house divided against itself, and the streetcar stopped right there.
When was that? Do you remember?
Well, that was back in the 30s. I went to UPS, old College of Puget Sound up here for a couple of years, and it was just about that time, between 32 and 34, that picture was taken. But those old streetcars, that same type, was used from 1915 through 1937, and maybe before that, I don't know. See, there was a special name for those. Those were all steel streetcars, and they were in the 200 group, that is, the 200 series of cars, 200 number. The 100s were quite the large car. That was one up there that you see where in 1915 those cars were being used. Those were one-handers, and they came from somewhere back in the east. I understand they were used in some kind of a something like a World's Fair or a centennial of a city back in Ohio or somewhere back there. And then that little car in back of the big one was the smaller four-wheel type that wasn't used only in the early days of streetcarring in Tacoma. And the one behind, as I said, is that kind that is shown there on Point Defiance line. There was another type of car. They had the 100 series, the 200, and the 300s. Now you see that little dinky there. We call it dinky, but they were termed Bernie cars. As I have studied it now, they call these all Bernie cars. They were named after an engineer by the name of Bernie who came out with that type of car. And that type of car was used on this North K Street line that I told you Dad used to ride on. And it had two trolleys, most of them did. And this thing would go, it'd go all the way from North Pine Street, North 12th and Pine, and come up here to North 11th and go north on North 11th to K Street, and then turned on K and went south on K, across Division Avenue, across 6th Avenue. These were transfer points. And at 11th Street, they would transfer to the cable, which you see up there in that 1915 shot. Mm-hmm. And in those days, that cable line was a main loop. It was a main transfer point in that people from the north, some of the north end of town, and some from the south end of town, more centrally located, like from where Hilltop is now over to UPS District. That would take those people, transfer them to go downtown. In those days, downtown was the main hub of activity. And nowadays, they go out toward the mall now more than anything else. But we're gradually redeveloping downtown, and you'll never have through buses or no more streetcars anyway on Broadway, because that's all the plaza, that Broadway plaza now. Mm-hmm. All the way up there where you see those cars, that's all plaza. In fact, all the way from 9th to 13th. But you can still go up 11th, you can still go down 13th with a car or with a bus. But in those days, that, as I say, that cable car was a main transfer line. It was actually, it started at A Street with the powerhouse at 13th and A. It went west to 11th Street, turned there by the post office, turned up the hill, going west. Well, west and north are a little bit ambiguous there, because where you go up A Street, you turn left. A Street actually runs almost north and south, so you'd be turning north. And then the next turning onto 11th, you'd be turning west, because you go out toward Day Island out that way. But the cable car went up to K Street, stopped at every street, went up to K Street, and you could transfer on the way up if you wanted at Tacoma Avenue, where there was another line of these Bernie cars I told you about. And that was really a short run too. Mm-hmm. But the cable went up there to K, turned south on K, and right there at the turning point, they let the passengers out, those that wanted to transfer either to North K, South K, or North or 11th Street, South 11th at that point. That went directly west from there, and the K Street cars went either north or south. Then they would also load people right at the same spot, right there by where Meyer Drug is. They would load them, and they would go to 13th, and they'd go down the hill, which would be east, downhill on 13th, and they would stop at any crossing there, like J, I, Yakima, G, Tacoma, Fawcett, Market, Broadway, I think they even stopped at Broadway and Commerce and Pacific and A Street. Well, there at A was a big powerhouse where these great big drums revolved, big cable reels revolved, and all that cable, which was underground, would get wound up on these big drums, and of course it was electrically powered, and the electricity would power those big drums that were in there. It's just like a glorified donkey engine is what it amounts to. But these cables go under the street, and there was a slot down and underneath the cable tracks. There were two. It was a narrow gauge, I think about 2, maybe 3 feet wide, and this slot was in the middle. It looked like an angle iron here and an angle iron here, and the cable was down underneath, and these grips, as they're called, which looked like an oversized emergency brake that they used to have on autos. Those things would engage. It was a kind of a torpedo-like arrangement down below. They would engage the cable. Well, anyway, the cable. Let me show you. Well, this cable line was, in the early days, a kind of a jerky way to ride, and it was a. You'd get on the car, and he'd start up right away. He wouldn't wait for anybody to sit down like we're supposed to do in the buses. He would just start right out with the thing, and there were two men on it. One was the gripman, G-R-I-P-M-A-N, who handled the grips, who handled the power end of the car. And the other was the conductor, who would open the gates on the back, on the right-hand side, and let people off or let people on, and he would collect the fares right there in the back. You could either stand, hang on to a strap, a leather strap which hung down from above, or you could sit down, and the seats in those cable cars were lengthwise of the car. Mainly, I think, because the cars were so narrow. They were narrower than an ordinary streetcar. And you just slide, just sit in those, and if you didn't hang on to one of the grips or there weren't enough people in it, you might slide partway down to the other end and they started up. The heavier people didn't have anything to worry about. And I know when I was a kid, the little light guy just start moving. But anyhow, I always liked to sit way up in the front there where the gripman was, where he had all his grips and brakes. He must have had about 5 different levers there that he manipulated. One was for a little door on the right-hand side near the front, and he had a bell up overhead. You can see kind of a round thing up there on top. Mm-hmm. He would ring the bell and go ding 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 like that when he'd go around the curve or when a car would show up, an auto, or he was crossing a busy intersection. In those days, we didn't even have traffic lights. In fact, I have a picture someplace that shows those cable cars down by the People's Store. And here's this old traffic cop out in the middle with one of those rounded hats. You call those Bobbies?
I think so.
Yeah, anyway, he had that, and he had a lever on this. It says stop one way, and he turned it the other way, and it said go. And in this picture that I have in one of these books here, shows this fellow directing traffic like that. And I have a very dim memory, but I remember seeing a policeman downtown directing traffic that way. And when the lights came in, I'm not sure, but I would judge it was in the, say, about 1928 or somewhere along in there, maybe 25. But traffic lights are a big help. People don't like them in some respects, but they're a fairer treatment than having a man stand there, because you get a definite break. Now, that covers the cables. They would stop usually on the hill, and they'd just stand there. One lever was the grip, as I told you, and then another one was to open the door, and there was another one that was a track brake. If anything went wrong, he could pull this big lever up, and it would be put brake shoes right on the track. And they were real abrasive, very abrasive shoes of some kind. Now, down in San Francisco, they use pine blocks. And when they start, when they stop down there, you can smell the hot wood. And there's, I think, pitch in those pine blocks. And you can definitely smell the wood burning. But ours never had any wood, to my knowledge. It was just, it may have had something like a brake lining of some kind, but I never smelled anything. Or never saw any shoe like that. There was a foot brake also, and it stood up about a foot off the place where his feet, where the gripman's feet were, and he would step back on that thing, put it clear to the floor, and that would ordinarily stop the car. There was another brake there. I never could figure out what it was for, another big lever. But if all else failed, I guess he'd have to ride it out. I never heard of one getting away in Tacoma, but I have in San Francisco. And if the thing ever went downhill, like 11th Street or like 13th Street, boy, I'll tell you, it'd really go places. They wouldn't end up in the bay, maybe, but they'd probably end up crosswise in the street down there by, well, beyond A Street, maybe on 11th Street Bridge or in the powerhouse there at 13th. But as I say, it never happened in Tacoma, to my knowledge. Well, anyway, that was a main artery, that cable line, and it serviced all these other lines. Now, as you go out of town in Tacoma, going north, you had Point Defiance line, which went out Broadway. It started, there was a loop. I'll start at the loop. That was at 17th and Broadway. It used to be C Street, and it was renamed in 1915 to Broadway. And then you go right straight out Broadway, past the Roxy Theater, past the YWCA, and up back of what is the Harvester now, or old Scotty's restaurant, and it would turn left there on Broadway to North First. It isn't Division, it's First. A lot of people think that's Division. But it was stopped there at a passenger loading point there. It was at Tacoma Avenue. Ranko's, right at Ranko's. And then it would go across there, across Tacoma Avenue, past G, past Yakima, and then it would turn on I Street. And the car went, it was double tracked all the way from down from Division. And the thing went out I Street, out to where it came into 21st. I Street goes into 21st, right at Steele, right down, straight down here. Mm-hmm. And then it continues out 21st to Alder. From Alder, it went north to 26th. And it went, then it would turn left, would turn west up 26th and to Proctor. And from Proctor, it would turn right north again. It would go, past... I'm trying to think of the name of that restaurant up there that everybody knows. It's about 27th and Proctor. Called the Knapp's restaurant. Right straight past there. Clear down and start down the hill toward the gulch. Well, in the early days when I first started to ride the streetcars, my grandmother lived out in the north end, out 37th and Houston, but right at the point where you start down the hill, you hit 30th Street, North 30th, and then it goes to 31st or 2nd, as I recall, and then there was a bridge. Now, of course, there's a concrete bridge in there, and this concrete bridge was double-tracked, but in those days it was an old wooden timbered bridge, and the streetcars had a switch. They'd come together at a junction there, and the cars would go across on the extreme right hand or east side of the bridge. There was a rail there, a handrail and a sidewalk on that side, but you had to watch out for the streetcars, I recall. The streetcars were on a single track across there. Why, I'll never know, but that's the way it was. And the cars would go on the west side of the bridge. And then over at 33rd, it had widened out into two tracks again. And at 34th, the streetcar would turn west and go up there, say, to Mason Street. Then there was a Y there where some of these dinkies used to run out there, these Bernie cars, and they were called North 34th and Mason. And that the car would go up beyond the Y and then back into the Y, way back, and then come out again. And they'd have to switch the trolley a little bit in order to get the thing to back up just right. But they'd go back there and they'd maybe wait until their scheduled time of departure again, and the 34th and Mason car would go back downtown. But the big cars, like this one here I showed you, that one is cattywampus in the street.
Mm-hmm.
The big steel cars, I think they were about a 50-60 seated. But if people were standing, they could probably take closer to 70, which I've seen many long years ago. But anyway, it went from there, 34th and Mason, it continued on double-tracked up to Cheyenne. It turned on Cheyenne and went all the way down Cheyenne to 45th. And then beyond 45th, it turned left, turned west, and went up to what is known as Poor Man's Corner. And that's where in the old days, Dad told me that this was called Poor Man's Corner at Orchard, because there was a little jog in the road there, like a figure or a letter S almost. And why, I don't know, but probably some real estate developer did that. His addition ended and somebody else's started. But anyhow, they called it Poor Man's Corner because the fellows from town, people from town, would ride out there for a nickel. And then it took another nickel to ride to Point Defiance from there. And 45th is only about a mile and a half from Point Defiance. So there was a Y just beyond this point. It said North 45th Street. You can see it on there, North 45th Street on that car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they turned around. Now, this didn't happen all the time, but in times of when they were real busy, like people got off work and people went to work, they'd run these extra cars. And 45th Street was another point, although this wasn't used very much, like not as much as 34th and Mason. But anyway, these cars had a Y there, and they could turn around at 45th. The street probably was just beyond Orchard, and I don't know if it was Winifred or Shirley or just what that cross street was, but it was just beyond Orchard a couple of blocks. Then it would in turn turn around and go the other way, and then there was a crossover so the street cars could get on the proper inbound track. Well, going on from North 45th Street Y, the streetcars would go to Pearl, and they would turn north on Pearl and go down Pearl Street until they hit Point Defiance Park. And Point Defiance Park, the cars went right into Point Defiance Park, and double track there also. And then at the end, right where the pagoda is, do you know where that pagoda is, Point Defiance?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, there was a great big loop there, and it was all around a nice little lake in there, and this little lake always had pond lilies, and it had a few swans and ducks and such. And it was a real beauty spot where these cars turned around. They tried to dress it up where all this terminal was, and it was always a beautiful building there. And I always enjoyed going out there and just looking at the building and that little pool, and then going down to the pavilion and watching the boats getting an ice cream cone or something down there. And sometimes we'd go beyond there to a picnic. We'd take our mother take a basket along, and we'd all help carry the things. We had to walk clear down to Owens Beach, almost to Owens Beach, where that is now. People walked a lot more in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Probably had better health on account of it. But anyway, getting back to Point Defiance, then it would turn around the loop there and go back up Pearl, back up to 45th, down 45th, clear to Cheyenne, and just the same old way back, but Cheyenne to Proctor on 34th, and then Proctor to 26, down North 26 to Alder, and down Alder, see, it'd be south on Alder to I Street, or to 21st, and then 21st ran into I at Steele, and then it hit Division. She turned down Division, and then she turned right at Tacoma Avenue, turned south instead of going on Broadway, because the Broadway was a single track. And then it would follow down, there was a juncture there, junction between Old Town, Old Tacoma cars and Point Defiance cars. So the Point Defiance cars and Old Town cars would all go down St. Helens. You'd run into St. Helens just beyond Tacoma Avenue there, right where the First Presbyterian Church is at Division, and start down there past the Temple Theater and down the hill past the Walker Apartments, past the Tribune, and would wind up on Broadway, and then they'd go to the Loop again. Well, now this Old Town line was a little different story. It was, see, it was on Broadway going north. It didn't go around the Loop, because one way it went to Oakland Addition, which is out south near the Utility Center, which didn't exist at that time. Utility Center was just built in 53. But in those days, it went out to Old Town. It would go out, you'd take the streetcar down on Broadway, the same way the Point Defiance went, but it would go up St. Helens. It would switch there at St. Helens, and it was one of these Bernie cars, the small ones. And it would go up St. Helens and stop there at Tacoma Avenue, and would continue across Tacoma Avenue and go on North Tacoma Avenue. And go across Tacoma Avenue, across Division, down Tacoma Avenue, and I believe it turned on Star, as I recall. Star Street turned down to the Old Town proper by the water. And then the thing would go down, single track, down this line down Star Street to 30th Street. And you can still see the indentation in the street down there on 30th, where the streetcar track was, where it had been. And that went for one block, as I recall it, to where he turned down to the top of the ocean now. That's McCarver. And then the streetcar would stop there. That was its terminal point right there at McCarver. Then the thing would turn to the left and go up Star to Tacoma Avenue. It was single track there. And then it would turn left. And let's see, as I remember, it was double tracked there. It was double tracked for a ways there, and then it went into a single track again somewhere up by Annie Wright Seminary, where that is now. And it would make that big, it was a kind of a big half moon there, where the track went around a curve by the gulch. The gulch where they have that trail now, you know, where they hike. Yeah. I don't recall the name of it, but it's not Gallagher's. But anyway, it went up there double tracked, as I remember, beyond there a little ways, and until it hit, it went up over where that Lutheran church is, Central Lutheran, and it go down right straight on Tacoma Avenue, past Division, and it would go down St. Helens Avenue and wind up down on Broadway. And then on the other end, you'll go right straight through on Broadway, past the Loop at 17th, out Jefferson Avenue, and then it would go out Center Street. And from Center Street, it would continue on until it hit a trestle across Center. In the early days, there was a change in that somewhere along the line, but that one. Anyway, Oakland Addition had two different ways of feeding cars into the downtown area. And there was also, let's see, she'd go back down Center Street all the way and go across Tacoma Avenue, down Jefferson Avenue, and wind up on Broadway again. You know, for one way to go to Old Town, the other way to go to Oakland Addition. And that was its run. The buses still do the same thing today. Now, another line that ran there around downtown was the 6th Avenue. The 6th Avenue went north. It went around the loop at 17th. Went up Broadway, stopped at like 15th, 13th, 11th. And then it turned left up St. Helens near 9th, right by where the Roxy Theater is. Went up St. Helens until it hit 6th Avenue. And then it turned left one block above where the old Tribune was at 6th and went up Baker Street, which is a kind of an easy grade street, because in the old days the horses and the streetcars too couldn't make that steep grade of 6th Avenue. So they would go up that Baker Street and then make a right turn going north to 6th Avenue. And then 6th Avenue, it would turn left and go up 6th Avenue, stop at G, Tacoma, Yakima, I, J, K, L, M, all the way out. And in those days, it went at Pine Street, there was a jog. This was a double track line all the way. At Pine Street, there was a jog, like a little S turn. And that was at the old Central Bank. And Burpees used to have a store there.
What year was this?
Oh, this was back before the streetcar stopped. Of course, that was somewhere there about in the early teens and the 20s and the 30s. It was always there on 6th Avenue. And it was a real busy line. It was one of their best revenue producers, from what I could understand. And anyway, this 6th Avenue line would go past Pine, go clear out to, you know where Gray Lumber is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, right at Gray Lumber, which is roughly Adams Street, it had there's a loop there. It turned to the south and went through Gray Lumber, and the streetcar came out on the South 7th. And then it went to Proctor, down South 7th, then came back on Proctor to 6th Avenue, and then they'd stay right there. That was their point of beginning or ending, point of beginning toward downtown. You know. And they would wait there for passengers, and proper time they take off for downtown. Anyway, there was also a transfer point there to Stephen Street Bus. And this old Stephen Street Bus still goes today. But they take this Stephen's Bus, it was some sort of a jitney, it wasn't anything very elaborate, and that would go out to Stephen's, as I recall, and down Stephen's north to 26th, and then would come back to 26th and Proctor and transfer people to Point Defiance that wanted to transfer there, or pick them up at that point, and they'd either pick up people or let them off anywhere along Proctor going back. So they'd return. It was just a complete loop from 6th and Proctor to 6th and Stevens, 6th and Stevens to 26th, then over to 26th and Proctor, and down Proctor back to 6th and Proctor. And then they'd wait for passengers again. Well, a shuttle service is what you call that, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
Then, but 6th Avenue in those days, ended right there at Proctor. And that was it. There was no line beyond that point. If you went beyond there was an old Day Island bus that you could take. That came not too regularly, but it ran in those days, and you could ride to Day Island. And then, let's see, there was a 6th Avenue.
Wasn't there a line down to Wapato, down that area?
Yeah, I haven't gone south yet. Yeah. This is all north.
Okay.
But there's one more line. Tacoma Avenue was one line I was trying to, it was in the downtown area. I want to get that first.
Okay.
The downtown area, there was one streetcar, one of these Bernies, these little cars, and it was set up the same way with two trolleys so that it could stop any place and turn around just by switching the trolleys and by switching the controller and brake handles. And of course, his fare box, he always had that in there, and mounted on a pipe. And you put your nickel or your dime, or the fare that I remember the best was 3 for a quarter. And you give the man, the conductor or the motorman, a quarter, and he'd give you 3 tokens. And they had a T in the middle of it, about the size of a dime. There's some of these people that collect these old tokens. Some have a big S on for Seattle, and some have Tacoma, T for Tacoma, and some have P for Portland. But anyway, you get 3 of those, and then we'd try not to lose them in between. Then we'd have a fare for next time. But you could put in a dime, a straight dime, or else tokens, 3 or 3 for a quarter. And he'd always give a change on the streetcar. And then, of course, today that's no-no because of so many robberies. But getting back to Tacoma Avenue line, he would start way over, right by where the Presbyterian Church is now, right at Division. There was a switch there, as I remember. He'd stop the car and turn the trolleys right there. And this was just a feeder line between the north end and the south end. So he'd run his car right across Tacoma Avenue, all the way going south. He goes like 6th Avenue, then 11th, then 13th, 15th, 17th, 19th, 21st, and so on, clear it down to 25th. And he would turn the car around right about this side of where that fire station is at 25th, right about where that church is, that Lutheran church. And that was his run, just back and forth, shuttle service. And it was only one car on that whole line, and I don't remember if any switch was on that line at all. But in the early days, I understand that there was a horse car on that same run. But it went into the trolleys later. And now the Oakland bus takes care of that. Oakland one way and Old Tacoma the other. But at one time, their franchise depended on that old town, that Old Tacoma Avenue run. Well, I understood it.
For the city's franchise?
City's franchise. These were all city cars. And in my day, there was, who else was there? Another one. I think that was all. Oh, another one on the north was the Old Pacific Traction Company. And this, they had big cars that went, they went around the loop down there at 17th and Broadway, and these cars would go out Broadway just like the Point cars did, clear out Broadway to Division, and then they would turn west on Division and go up as far as Sprague, right out Division. It was a track right out Division, a single track, and they would turn right there where, right about Jason Lee. There are 2 gas stations there now on the south side. And they go right straight south. And there was an old ballpark right where Peck Field is now. And then they would take off cross country. You can still see a few cuts in there where the old Pacific Traction line went. And they went through there and came out right above where Cedar is now. There was an old trestle in there. They went across Cedar Street and finally wound up over by Oakland Addition. Then there was a trestle across Center Street, and it went on Center Street cross country all the way through Oakland Addition. You can still see cuts in the sidewalks there from that old streetcar line. Of course, in those days they had open go, and for the right of way they could, there were no streets even. They just go right across country, and you can see that in Yakima too when you go over there. Where they just slice right across the corner. You wonder why they did that, but it was done before the streets were even laid up. But anyway, over there in Oakland, they'd go on beyond that point, and they would wind up out near where Holroyd's gravel pit is now. Well, before that, that's right near Calvary Cemetery, Manitou. They had a stop there at Manitou Park. And one reason Manitou is laid out the way it is on the south side of 66th is because of this streetcar line. I mean, right through this park. And in the early days, Dad had come from Ohio, and he was always wanting to look up somebody from Ohio. And that was called an auto camp, Manitoba, I think it was a Metropolitan Park auto camp. And he'd look all around that whole place for a car from Ohio. And then he was just, his pride and joy when he found a car from Ohio, because he'd go and talk to them. Dad always had visions of going back to Ohio, but he never made enough money and never piled up enough to go back. So this was his pride and joy to go out there. Anyway, Calvary Cemetery was just to the south of this. But right there where this auto camp was, they'd come up in their Model Ts from clear across the country, and they had their running boards full of, have you ever seen those old running boards on the Model Ts? They had these scissors type holders or bars across there so they could put all kinds of boxes on the running boards. And then they had trunks behind, and almost every one of these people that camped there had a tent. But getting back to streetcars, Manitou was this waiting station there. And then from there, if you wanted to go on to Steilacoom Lake or Steilacoom, you could take one car, would go off to the west and north and west, and the other car would go more to the south to American Lake North, and Camp Murray. In the early days, that's the only way that the World War I soldiers got back out to Camp Lewis. It wasn't Fort Lewis in those days, it was Camp Lewis. It was just a temporary setup for the soldiers, but it gradually evolved into the big fort it is today. But it went over in the area where the North Fort is today. It didn't go to the south, as I recall. I never went on a car over there. But as I understand it, when those streetcars, those old Pacific traction cars, would get out far enough out there, the power got less and less, and it was all direct current. And the farther out you get, the less power you get. So pretty soon you're just idling along at 5-10 miles an hour.
How fast did they generally go?
Oh, I think they went around, say I was on an out run way out there, they'd probably be 25 or 30 miles an hour, mostly 20. 25. But they weren't any today's standards of speed. They were real slow. But there are very few streetcars ever got involved in any fatal accidents, except that one, I think it was 1900, down to Lynn Street. I was in one of these dinkies one time when it hit a bus over on Division Avenue. But neither one got injured very badly. Nobody got hurt in the car or the bus either. It's one of those things you hit and that's it. Mm-hmm. Pick up the pieces when it's over. Take the names of the witnesses and on your way. But anyway, this car, Pacific Traction Line, was at one time an independent traction company, and it went all the way to American Lake and to Steilacoom Lake and to Steilacoom Town itself. And there was another one. It would come back the same route, though. Come back, go through Manitou and back through Oakland and back down Sprague, down Division. And it would probably, as I remember, it went down St. Helens also and made the loop at 17th. But they were big cars. They were almost like interurban cars. One time we went out to Steilacoom Lake to camp out there. Dad had a friend out there in the store, Lee's store, by the Oaks, and he had some cabins, and Dad rented a cabin there, and we took all our duffel out there on that old streetcar. It was really fun. We never camped on a lake before, and it's all a little bit different. We always camped on salt water.
I was curious, you're talking about small Bernie cars and then other cars being as large as interurbans. Do you have any idea of what kind of stock that Tacoma Transit had as far as the size of the trolleys? Or?
Well, you mean... Well, you asked about what we would term a roster of the cars. A roster is a list, detailed list of what cars they had and how many and what number series they were, where they generally went, what lines. I don't have any roster of the cars, but I know one fellow, this Neil Lee, I think, could steer you pretty well on that.
Well, did they ever, like, say at rush hour, or there was such thing as a rush hour when they were using trolleys, did they used to put on extras?
On extra cars. In fact, during, say, like in the morning hours, you could count on a 6th Avenue car every 5 minutes. And Point Defiance was always 15 or 20 minutes, as far as I knew. And some of the other lines would do the same. The lines that had the most travel on them would have the most trippers. Trippers, I think, is what they call them. They would just be a trip or two out. Like in the morning here, they pick up the people, like going to Stadium High and downtown, they pick them up all one time at about 2 hours' time. They have everybody from, say, 7 o'clock to 9 or 10, and then those fellows would lay off for a while, maybe. And then they'd either go home or they'd stay there at the station and they'd come back on, just like they do today. They'd come back on at busy times. The busy times, like kids getting out of school, that's a busy time. And the people going home from work, that's a busy time too. And the rest of the time, they go on a schedule that isn't as often, as far as running is concerned. But now, I wish I had a roster of all of those cars, and that's something that should be developed. But there was the 100 series, which were larger cars, more along the interurban line. The 200s were the medium-sized cars, like that Point Defiance type, and that also went south to Coleman, as I remember, but mostly Point Defiance. And then there were the 300s, which were the little Bernie cars. They were both single and double trolleys. And I never remember of any 400 series cars. And I don't remember of any with a single digit or as two digits. But let's see, there were some, well, wait, I take it back. There were some work cars that were in the 1300 series. 1300, 1301, and so on. Some of them were line cars working on the trolley lines. Some were, I remember one was a great big crane. It had a big timber boom on the end of it for picking up. Say they'd have a big trolley accident someplace and they'd have to put the thing back on the track. I think it'd go out and pick her right up and put her back on the track.
It's a good-sized boom.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. Was that, that wasn't the boom that they've put out at Point Defiance now, is it?
No, that came from City Light. That used to be used down there for, well, it was coal. It was a coal mover at one time. And they used that for unloading great big transformers, like substation transformers. Yes, but mostly coal. It was, see, the old steam plant was a coal burner, and they had to have hundreds of tons of coal there. And they converted to oil during my time out there, which was probably in the 50s to early 60s. They were working on steam plant number 2, converting it over from coal to oil. Let's see. Now, getting back to, you want to know any more about those lines like out south?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay. There was one more I neglected to talk about. At the end of the cable line was 11th Street streetcar, which was another one of these lines using Bernie cars or dinkies. And those things went from K Street west out to Sprague, and from Sprague clear out past Franklin School, out that way, out to Proctor, in fact, beyond Proctor to Stevens. And that was just a shuttle back and forth between Stevens and Kay. And at Stevens Street, in the early days, they had what was called a Lemons Beach line. And it took in, at first, I think it took in Regent's Park, which is now Fircrest. Regent's Park was named by Major Bowes, remember, well, your folks would probably remember Major Bowes, the amateur hour. Anyway, this was on radio now, I guess in the 20s or 30s. And he and some other promoters promoted Regent's Park, and they laid out streets. They put down blacktop, and those days it was, well, largely like this blacktop asphalt we have today, not concrete. But anyway, had all these streets, sidewalks, and plots laid out, and he sold them on one premise that the streetcars gave a 20-minute service to downtown, and they did run. I don't know if they made 20 minutes or not, but that's what they promised. That this was a thing that you could look for. And I have found a picture someplace of a little old car that went between Regent's Park and downtown Tacoma. But in my day, when I was out there, and I know it was in the 20s, this 11th Street car went to Stevens, and from that point you transferred to this Lemons Beach car, which looked a little like, well, an interurban car. It was a small interurban car, and as I remember, the number was 100, 100. And it was a single-man car. It had been two-man car. But it went clear out to through Regent's Park, and then went right for a Furcrest, and then went out to Lemons Beach. And that is right on the water, right by the island. This side of that is University Place. And the University Place, I guess, wasn't thought of at the time. Day Island was serviced by a bus line. They never did have a streetcar out there. But this old, this was really a Toonerville. And my two brothers and I went out there one time to see a pal that had moved. He moved over here at Lamington Prospect. And he wanted to take us out there one day to show us his old haunts out there at Regent's Park. So we went out on this old car with him. And there was this one fellow that drove it. His name was Happy. Everybody called him Happy. And there was just a one-man operation. He did back and forth, back and forth. But it was a kind of a fantastic old line. It was out in the woods in those days. Like a lot of Scotch broom and a lot of willow. And this fellow showed us where one of these Chinese caves was supposed to have been. We heard about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, it was somewhere from between Orchard Street and Regent's Park or Furcrest, right up in that vicinity. It's this side of where TCC is now, about a mile, pretty close to a mile, maybe three quarters of a mile. But anyway, this streetcar, as I remember, it went out what that cross street is beyond, or out to 19th, I don't know, but it just about followed 19th all the way. And Orchard was the road, it followed Orchard, and it was just a little cow path in those days, Orchard itself was. But it was probably built on that old right-of-way that the streetcar line had.
Mm-hmm.
But where it went beyond that point, I don't know. But Dad told me that there was another old streetcar line that went out, see, it went clear out to Steilacoom, but ending at the other end of the line, Steilacoom, it came along the waterfront. Near where Sunnyside Park is, along in there, you know where that is? That's it's north, it's on the shore there, this side of, it's on the north of Steilacoom. There's a sewage plant there now, but Sunnyside Park is still
right,
there.
And right, then okay, I know what it is.
And then it would go, it would turn right there by that Chambers Creek Lumber Company, and it would cross. I think it was probably a trestle. I never saw it, but I understand it's a trestle there. It came across this Chambers Creek, where Chambers Creek empties into Puget Sound. And I think it was even, I saw a picture of it in a 1906 book, and it did not show the NP tracks there at that time. Maybe at the time the NP went up over the hill on the prairie line. I don't know. But that one line came back up the hill, as I remember Dad telling it, and it came back up near where the peach orchard was, and now it's there's a boys' school up in there.
And oh, that's
Wright?
Yeah.
Charles Wright Academy, yeah, you're right. Anyway, it came around a curve there, and the curve, there are two curves in the road, kind of a double curve there where the streetcar went.
That was way out. Well, it's still
yeah, that's way out.
Now.
Yeah, well, that's a long way out.
Yeah, I'm sure
and,
it is.
And from that point back in, it must have come back into roughly Bridgeport, where Bridgeport is now. And it would wind around in the woods there and come out on Bridgeport. And now where they started down, they must have, I can't figure out, because I never saw any tracings of where that old streetcar line went. But it may have been a continuation of that 11th Street line.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea if it was city owned out that far, or was it private?
That I don't know. Let's see. The one fellow that I know who has a picture of this Neil Lee. And he, I haven't been able to get a picture of it yet, but it shows a little old trolley car with two trucks underneath it, eight wheels, and it's on a trestle out in the water. And they built it right in the water, mind you. And how far that went into Steilacoom, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I presume it went right about to where the center of Steilacoom is, or maybe almost to where the ferry dock is now. But this old line is, it wasn't in my memory because I didn't see it. But if I had seen it, I'd probably remember it more. But Dad said it ran out there, and part of the road we used to go out to Chambers Creek, along by New Tacoma Cemetery, and there, right where Brookside is, you know, Brookside Mortuary. They went down the hill right there, and that road followed the old trolley line. But they probably used to groan and growl up that hill. It was a pretty steep hill. But it would probably have been a two-man car and came out of downtown, to my knowledge. Maybe Neil or somebody else could clarify this. But I would presume North 11th, South 11th, or South 12th would run into this thing somewhere out there at Bridgeport, where Bridgeport is now. But that wouldn't be too far from Orchard. Maybe about a mile and a half, or a mile anyway. That was the, there was another line, let's see. The early years, I understand there was a steam line to Point Defiance. But Dad said he had heard about it. He had never seen that one. Alan C. Mason was, he was a pioneer out here, and the one for whom Mason Street was named. He had this steam line, and he was trying to get people to move into his property out there by having this steam line. And this was one way to get people out there. So in those days, it was all timber, just like Washington is all over, or was all over. Timber everywhere. Well, now, if we're going to go now from, go out south, I could more briefly name the streetcars that went out there. Maybe it'd be better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, starting at the east end, there would be a streetcar that went to Portland Avenue, go out Pacific Avenue. This was a car that went on a loop around where Fireman's Park was, where it's going to be recreated. There was an item last night about Fawcett's, old Mayor Fawcett's fountain. And it went around this loop. The loop started at South 9th, and it went around 80, what's